baptisms. Praise the Lord. And today is also essentially a one-year anniversary of the flood. It's amazing the things that have changed in this last year. And, we just thank the Lord for his blessings and his faithfulness, Lord, because that's what we celebrate, is his faithfulness. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path of that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and his way, his law, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so. They are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, and the way of the wicked will perish. We also want especially to keep our nation, Israel, the world in our prayers. One thing, no matter where you stand with regards to these things, God is faithful to his people Israel, and if he's not faithful to his people Israel, then we have nothing to stand on ourselves. But we also know that at some point in time, everyone, including the United States, will most likely abandon Israel, except for God. But God will also not abandon Israel nor us. And that's just something, Lord, we pray for all those involved. We pray especially for our servicemen and for those that are protecting us, that you have chosen, called them to a service which is so valuable. And Lord, we ask you to watch over them and your people Israel, and we do pray for the safety of Jerusalem as you've commanded us. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit says to the church and eyes to see. Fruit of the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Sometimes I mean, this is what the Lord gave me, and then while Bev spoke on the armor a couple weeks ago, and with the armor, the thing that we need to know in these times is we need to stand firm. We stand. He gives us the defenses. He gives us the strength. He gives us the tools. And I just bring that up into remembrance because it's an important thing. But one of the things that here is, when I was looking at the fruit of the Spirit and then also knowing that I'd be doing this in the time of the baptism, the Lord just said, this is when we want this. They go together. Now, questions that the Lord always brings me questions. Do I walk by the Spirit? And it's something we each need to do. It's a daily thing. Am I walking by the Spirit? And if I am, how do I know? Well, this verse right here is very explicit. Do I gratify the desires of my flesh? If I'm gratifying the desires of my flesh, then I better question whether I'm walking in the Spirit. Now, it doesn't mean that God doesn't want us to enjoy our lives, but we do have to look at this. Our salvation, believing, trusting Jesus as our Savior and King, along with our obedience and baptism, dying to sin, flesh and living, rising up, living in Christ, opens the door to walking in the Spirit. Now see, baptism is that symbolism where we go down, die to our flesh, die to sin, and rise up to live for Christ, abandoning our flesh, our sinfulness, because we do need to recognize that. Going on, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, or patience in many versions, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Notice this. This is something that the Lord just, I was going to do more. I've been studying and looking at that because I know the Lord's wanted me to start teaching on the fruit of the Spirit, but we have to start here. Notice it says, fruit of the Spirit is. The Spirit produces fruit. One fruit. It's singular. You can't separate these out and say, I've got this fruit and I don't have that fruit, because, first of all, it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not my fruit. It's His. And so there are things that the Spirit produces. They are things that the Spirit produces in us and for us, not something we do. And that was, I mean, it just dawned on me how powerful that is. Because if it isn't for the Holy Spirit producing fruit in me, there most likely won't be. Because I know what I'm like, and Bev can probably testify to it from time to time. But I know we all fall into those places. It's not a to-do list or a performance test. If it were, I would certainly fail. At salvation, when we begin to grow in faith, belief, and trust in God and our Savior Jesus Christ and the sanctifying work of His Son, we receive the presence of the Holy Spirit as promised, because Jesus is at the right hand of God in heaven. Remember, Jesus said, I must go. He told His disciples, I have to go. Because if I don't go, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit won't come, the gift, the promise of the Father. And so the Holy Spirit leads us into baptism, repentance, and transforms our life as we grow in faith and love for God and others. So let's look at baptism for a minute. And this, you heard this three times this morning. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, sorry. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, baptism is a very important ordinance, but it's about obedience. And there's John's baptism. If you remember, Jesus was baptized by John. And what we practice today is not John's baptism. It's a believer's baptism. Now, one of the reasons it's a difference is because when John baptized Jesus, Jesus had not yet died and rose again. They were expecting a king at that time. Now, they could have known, but God's will is done, not ours. Jesus had to die. That's why He came. A believer's baptism is in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Both include repentance of our sins. We need to repent of our sins. Repentance is a very important thing. The believer's baptism, we express our faith in what Jesus has done, that he is the Messiah, our Savior, King, and Lord. And so those things aren't always expressly said in the baptism, but it's there. It's a believer's baptism because you're saved by faith. Now, a similar thing that's called the Great Commission at the end of Mark is a little bit different, but it's important because, you see, I grew up a Lutheran, and so my parents would have said they baptized me when I was an infant. Now, we do not believe in infant baptism in the Assemblies of God, but when I came into the Assemblies of God, they said that they would accept the fact that I was baptized, but encouraged me to have an immersion baptism. Now, if we look at this right here, this is at the end of Mark. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will," and then it goes on, some protection things, "and they will place their hands on the sick and they will get well." Now, these things come here. The one thing that I was, well, like I said, I was baptized as a Lutheran. And I did, well, one time when I've been replenishing my book supply, and for a quarter I got because I still had my small catechism from when I was in Lutheran church, and there's a lot of good stuff in there, but I purchased a new one for a quarter. I thought, why not? It's a nice reference to have, and it's kind of a memory thing. But one of the things, if you go to a Lutheran funeral, they will quite often emphasize this passage right here that says, "Believe and be baptized and you will be saved." But if you do look closely in Luther's catechism, go back into the explanations, they're very specific, that everyone should be strongly encouraged as soon as possible after to be baptized, and they believed in the infant baptism because it's an obedience by the parents, and God recognizes obedience. But it says that the baptism isn't what saves you. It's belief, because otherwise the thief on the cross could not have been saved. And so we don't want to make... All I bring this up is because I've talked to bathroom, and there's been times I've been guilty of it myself, talking about baptism. If they, in faith, baptize their children, God recognizes and honors faith of those who believe in him. Now, we should strongly encourage people to be baptized, because baptism... Notice baptism is expected of the believer. You can be baptized and not saved, because those, if you notice in the back, those who do not believe are condemned. Belief and your faith, your trust. I mean, quite often it's a stronger word to say your trust in Jesus, not so much your belief in Jesus, because demons believe Jesus, know he exists, but they aren't saved. Okay, continuing in Titus. "At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. In our salvation, faith, trust in Jesus, life, death, and resurrection leads us to repentance and the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit through baptism into a new life in Christ. It is a washing and a renewal of bringing us back into relationship with Christ. And baptism is a very important part of bringing us into that relationship and publicly affirming our faith in Christ. Our lives are changed, transformed by the washing and rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. And as we go on, that's the importance of the Holy Spirit working. That's why the fruit of the Spirit is the Spirit's fruit, because he's continuing to renew us, transform us, and change us. Husbands, we always like this verse, or women do. Ephesians 5, 25 and 26. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church, and he gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing of the water through the word, to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or other blemish, but holy and blameless. This verse isn't often thought of in reference to baptism. The goal of Christ's self-sacrificial love for the church is first to make her holy and set apart for God's service through cleansing. Second, to present her to himself as a radiant church. And third, to present her holy and blameless. The church is made holy as she is cleansed by the washing, and the she here is referring to the church as Christ's bride. And as the church is cleansed by the washing with water through the word, an act that depicts the cleansing power symbolized in baptism. That came from the commentary from the Grace and Truth Study Bible, and it's just important that we have that right understanding of baptism. Romans, dead to sin, alive in Christ. That's what happened today. We died in our baptism, we die to sin. That doesn't mean sin disappears, but we die to sin. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We are therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Continuing, for if we have been united with him in death, and in death like his, we are certainly also united in him in a resurrection like his. And for we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Have you ever wondered why God's chosen people, the Israelites, were enslaved in Egypt for 400 years? I mean, if you remember that story, if you remember the Old Testament, God told Abraham, before he even had any children, that his descendants would spend 400 years enslaved in Egypt. Now remember, the Jewish people, which are the descendants of Abraham, but interestingly, almost everybody that's called a Palestinian today is a descendant of Abraham or related to him in some way or another. So it's an interesting dichotomy we have over there. But Remember, God chose the Israelites to demonstrate his faithfulness, not their faithfulness or our faithfulness. God is the one that's proven faithful through the history of the Jewish people. Just like the pairing of and the parting of and Israel's passing through the Red Sea and the Exodus set them free from slavery in Egypt, passing through the water in baptism also symbolizes how Christ has set everyone free from our slavery to sin. With his death on the cross and his resurrection points to a new life in Christ here and in the future in eternity. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also will live with him. For we know that since Christ has raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Now that from Romans, I mean, there's no reason to say anything different. The word speaks for itself. Baptism is extremely important in our lives to show us and to bring us and to strengthen our faith in what's ahead, the new life we have in Christ. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, you will be destroyed by each other. We've now moved to Galatians, where we started. So I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Notice the acts of the flesh are plural. Remember that the fruit of the Spirit is singular. Contrasting the disorder, division, and confusion caused by sin in our world. The kingdom of darkness. Our world is in a dark place. And I believe it's becoming darker in many ways. But the light is also shining brightly. The unity, harmony, and light possible in the kingdom of God is due to the fruit of the Spirit. And the things that we see that are bringing light in the world, there are many people living, and we need to be among those that are living by the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, just again to remind what I said at the beginning, the fruit of the Spirit is the Spirit's fruit. It's produced by the fruit. It's one fruit. You can't say, I've got goodness but don't have kindness, because it's not your choice. You can't not have patience or self-control. Now, just like every human being, we resist the Spirit. If we couldn't resist the Spirit, we also couldn't resist the devil. But we put our faith and our hope and our trust in what Jesus has done in the Christ and in the promise of the Father, which is the Spirit. We are to be led and allow the Spirit to produce this food in us and not resist it. That's not an easy thing to do. I'm not saying it isn't, but it's something each day I have to ask myself, and actually in these last days, am I walking in the Spirit? And reminding myself, they are the things the Spirit produces in me, in us, and for us. And it's not something we do. Just let him have his way with us. At salvation, we begin to grow in faith, believe, and trust in God and the sanctifying work of his Son. And we receive the presence of the Holy Spirit. As promised, the Holy Spirit is here and present with us. Enjoy his presence. Welcome his presence. And if you ever sense that the fruit of the Spirit is not in your life, just simply say, Lord, forgive me. Bring me back to where I need to be. The Holy Spirit leads us into baptism, repentance, and transforms our life as we grow in faith and love for God and others. And that's a beautiful thing. That's the work of the Spirit. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit, and let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying one another. I'll go ahead and go to that last one. Since we live in the Spirit, I guess I put it in there twice. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not be conceited, provoking, and envying one another. At this time, I want to just pray, Lord, as a body, I want to pray for our body. Lord, this is a good time. We are celebrating three baptisms, Jaden's, Phyllis and Jeff, and their baptism, their new life, Lord, in you. And Lord, but it's also a remembrance for us that you are also working and transforming us, and we pray that that will continue. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit. At this time, I'd like us, just as a body, to gather around the newly baptized, Jaden and Phyllis and Jeff, and let's pray for them. I'll also pray for the meal that's there. Lord, we do thank you for your provision. And just ask and bless each one who prepared food and brought food, but just especially help us just to enjoy this time of fellowship and joy that we have in this baptism today. In Jesus' name, amen. But let's go pray for the